Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tausch?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Jordan Love's groin, an update edition. The all the fun things that you love about our Friday shows. The Gold Game preview, the weekend preview, Steinhoffel Sleepers headlines, which I confidently will argue will not be as good as last week's. Prize picks for the week. Trivia, picking a trivia winner. Maybe Tyler Buss or maybe not. I don't know the rules yet. Edition. And the, I'll tell you this, Jeff Hafley, man. I'm hoping he sticks around for more than a year. There's going to be a lot of head coaching openings. Maybe that's a little premature. Edition. Of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson on a Friday? What are you doing here? Take the 405.
Calendar great to turned, have you. Calendar turned to November, so I'm good to work on Fridays again. October was my no Friday deal.
It's great to have you, and it's great to have from an undisclosed location that really is, because I don't know where he is. I was told he might be in his car, but last time he was in his car, we had a beautiful view of his steering wheel and then all the great accoutrements around his Chevy Tahoe from Zimbrick Chevy. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He, wherever he is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm actually just pulling into an ice rink. Got a big hockey tilt this morning, so that's what I'll be doing.
Woo-hoo! Yeah.
Feeling good about the matchup today?
I don't know anything about who we're playing. So, yeah, I feel good. We got a good squad. This is the Capitals crew here. This is as good a group as we've had in a while. A lot of talent.
Mm. And you have no responsibilities there other than being a dad cheering for your son's team. You're not coaching. You're not filling water bottles.
Well, since I've never put on a pair of skates in my life, I think that's probably a good move that I'm not involved.
That's good. Yeah, that's probably a good question.
Before we get to Jordan Love and Jeff Hafley, is there a shortage of 100 grand bars? Because trick-or-treating went, and normally I'll pilfer a couple from Eleanor or Max or whoever, and 100 grand bars are not readily available like they usually were. Am I crazy?
There were not as many as I would have liked to have seen in the girls' baskets, but I don't know if that's a shortage per se, or if that is a just lots of people who are giving out candy don't buy that one, even though on this panel it is far and away the most popular candy bar.
I don't even know if it's this panel. I think in general. I know we've had this discussion. You know what's made a comeback? Carmelo. A lot of there were more Carmelo bars and Rolos.
Carmelo Anthony? Like,
no, I don't know if caramel is, if they're just trying to dump caramels, but there's a lot of caramel bars being floated around.
A story from Mass Live in July of 2022 reported that that Hershey was having trouble fulfilling the needs of candy bar sales that year for Halloween, and it included the 100,000, what do we call it, 100 grand? Is that what the technical term 100 is
grand
now?
Bar, yeah.
That's not what we call it. That's what it's called. I don't think we're making something up.
I think it was called something else originally. I can fact check that, too.
Okay.
But as you heard on this very show, because Tausch is always ahead of the curve on trends, gasoline.
You guys made fun of me all day about it, and it turns out there's going to be another one of those times where you think, boy, old T knew what he was talking about.
Well, I don't. I know I saw a report about that there would be more people giving out fruity, chewy candy because the prices of chocolate bars had gone up.
Sour Patch. Sour Patch is everywhere. You got more Sour Patch than a guy could shake a stick at.
But I didn't see there any sort of shortage on Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
No,
there are a lot of those in their baskets.
The number one candy.
That's true.
And they have chocolate in them. They're made of chocolate and peanut butter.
A lot of peanut butter. Yeah, peanut butter is obviously going to be cheaper than chocolate, though. So that makes sense.
Mm. Okay. Well, we'll do further investigation into your 100 grand conspiracy. So does that mean you had to steal other candy from the kiddos' bags?
Well, no. I mean, I try not. I mean, obviously, Twix is a top one for me. I love a good Heath bar. Kit Kats are good, but Heath bars would be up in my power rankings higher than a lot of those.
I didn't see any of those either.
No, it's another one that I think is dipped off substantially. So it's probably for the better that this stuff is the way it is so that I'm not sitting there mulching through all these trick-or-treat buckets. Because most of the stuff, like if it's not a Milk Dud, like not a lot of Milk Duds either. Heavy Reese's peanut butter cups and heavy on Sour Patch. Those would be the two that I saw a lot of.
Yeah, me too. Jesse, how did your trick-or-treating go from a home ownership perspective? You had some concerns.
We were good. We had to alter the plans. We like doing the fire pit in the driveway setup, but we ended up going in
pretty
the garage.
Windy.
Very windy.
Smokey the Bear said, don't be doing that.
Yep, no fire pit yesterday. We went garage setup, had the speaker going with all the great Halloween music that exists.
And you had the playlist
we sure
to use.
Did. Oh, yeah.
So it was a 3-minute party.
It was, very fast. Very fast play. We recycled about 8 songs over and over and over. Solid turnout. I thought turnout would be low this year given the weather. I know a lot of places had done trick-or-treating in the weeks prior, so I thought maybe some of the kids of the neighborhood had gone elsewhere instead of doing ours last night. But great turnout. And good leftovers. Always great to have some leftover candy to be able to snack on yourself. So not too bad.
Any 100 grands?
No 100 grands. No, we went Rice Krispies, double stuffed Oreos, like the individual packed ones, and Fruit by the Foot for the second straight year.
Fruit by the Foot,
big hit with the kids. Yeah.
Does Fruit by the Foot get handed out to the kids that are rude and not doing it, or how did you tear
No, they love it. No. The best costumes I thought that came by, there were a couple of Harry Potter costumes that were fantastic. There was
Bane.
Actually... You know who we saw yesterday? This was the highlight. Didn't come up for candy. Batman was riding around on a motorcycle. And I don't know where Batman came from or where he went to or where he was off to go save anyone, but Batman was riding around on a motorcycle in the subdivision. And that was amazing. So if I could give extra candy to Batman, if he ever showed up, I would certainly do so. That was out of nowhere. Pretty incredible.
Like the flowing cape and everything?
Yeah.
Did the wheels do that weird rotation thing like Batman's motorcycle?
They did not. Okay. I have some logistical questions about that for Christopher Nolan or whomever could answer if I was ever given the opportunity. But I almost wanted, I was starting to think, man, I wish I had a Bane costume. And then I could have ran out after Batman on the motorcycle out in the middle of the road. And it could have been a little standoff out there. It would have been fun.
And what would you have said to him? Oh, you don't have an empty cup. Never mind.
Hang on.
Happy Halloween, Batman. Would you like a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup?
It is amazing how Bane is essentially Sean Connery into a cup.
Was giving away Rice Krispies part of your plan?
Of course.
Oh my,
I love it when we can highlight you doing that. That is one of my favorite things we do on this show. We've got a lot of other things we do on this show. And we look forward to getting to all of those. But, Tausch, I want you to hear coming up this exchange that I had with Halfley. He's such a head coach.
You got a crush. You got a
coach. I do. Man crush, no doubt. No doubt,
Coach
and
Crush.
I like Ryan Downard too, who is a protege who is mentored by Jeff Halfley back in the day with the Cleveland Browns long ago. There's some similarities there between the two. I know I've done a lot of comparing this season. I'll stop short of making that comp today, but I'm so impressed with Halfley. Like, I just think he carries himself in a way that you totally understand why his guys are bought in like they weren't with some other guys. I can feel it, and I want you to listen to him talking about your question or your narrative of how important it's going to be to get Jared Goff off the spot. Goff off the spot, that's hard to say. And how important it is going to be to put pressure on him. We will play that coming up. What's just as important as putting pressure on Jared Goff, making sure you take advantage of Gina Della's 60th birthday celebration sale? Have we given this a title?
We haven't, but get the look you want for your home with customizable windows and doors from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Durability of materials. It gets tested time and time again. Custom colors, innovative features like shades between the glass. And Gina's 60. She's going to be 60. You get this deal, and you got till November 8th. 0 for 60. 0 down, 0 interest for up to 60 months. Certain restrictions do apply. Hold your appointment before November 8th. Get started today at PellaWI.com.
We will hear from Jeff Halfley and the importance in this colossal NFC North showdown of getting after the Lions quarterback, who is statistically one of, if not the best quarterback in the league this season. I know we may doubt it on this show, but the numbers, and as Matt LaFleur said, the tape, back it up. We'll hear from Jeff Halfley next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Before we get to half, Tausch, am I crazy? When you were playing and I was covering you, I feel like if there was ever rain, practice moved inside. Am I wrong about that?
I think a lot of times, yeah. I don't think all the time, though.
I mean, I was not there. I was doing this fine program with you, my friend. But I saw a video or a photo of our guy Wes Hodquitz soaked to the bone. And I think it was really raining hard yesterday at practice. And I'm curious, before we get to Halfley, if this tells you anything, that Jordan Love and his bad groin stayed out there. Does that mean anything?
Well, you told me yesterday he wasn't going to play. You didn't report it. You told
me. It was a guess.
So,
yeah.
Well, yeah. That's what you told me.
It was a guess. It was a guess.
Does it tell you anything? It tells me that there's a better chance that he's going to play than you maybe let on. That's what it would tell me.
Yeah, I would say that I have changed my guessing game because I don't think you want a guy with a groin injury slip-sliding away out on Clark Hinkle Field unless you feel pretty good about where his injury's at. Don't you think?
I would agree. Yeah, no, I agree. I was surprised about both things. And again, we don't know how much he did during the team stuff. And,
correct.
You know, if you're doing subterfuge. And by the way, he looked a little ginger.
He did.
When he was doing some of the drills that we saw. So,
indeed.
If you're going to subterfuge, you got to put him out there. Otherwise, nobody's going to buy it. But
fair.
The fact that you're going to risk him and put him out there when it's sloppy like that and slick, yeah, I thought. That's a sign that I think he's more likely to play than not. That's what I thought.
Yep. I reserve the right to change my guess, and my guess is evolving after seeing that yesterday. Well, you know, if you're gonna discourage me from guessing now by getting after me if the guess is wrong, that seems counterproductive for you, my friend.
Very fair point, and lesson learned. Jason, great job going out there, and really good job of adjusting with the information as it has come to you. Nice work.
Thank you for your compliments.
You're guilting me into forcing to compliment you. That's where we're at. Just so we know, all on the same page.
You know what? I'm okay with that because you seem like you're in a fantastic mood. Is that a fair assessment?
I'm in a really good mood. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm in a good mood. Get to watch a couple of big games down here in Chicago and then head over to Iowa tomorrow afternoon. So, yeah, who could have a better weekend than me?
Who's got it better than you? By the way, last question. Season opener or did play already start?
You're talking hockey?
Yes, I'm talking hockey.
Oh, God, no. Season opener? Get out of here. We're probably almost 30 games, probably mid-20s, 30 games in.
Jesse, how many times have we heard Tausch reference hockey in the last month?
This is the first time I've heard Tausch say that he's attending a hockey tournament or that he's spent his weekend at a hockey tournament.
I've also not been the greatest hockey dad this year as I've lived in California for two
for
weeks.
A month.
And I've traveled to Piscataway and to where else did I go?
Evanston, road trip with LePay.
Southern California. Yeah, so maybe that's by design that I haven't mentioned it as much.
Is LePay with you in the Tahoe? Did he drive with you to Chicago to catch some hockey and then you guys carpooled together to Iowa City?
No, I was surprised. He didn't want to come and watch three hockey games before we did the Iowa game. So, no. He's good buddies. I think he's going to be down living it up big time with I think the guy's name is Dolphin, the play-by-play guy.
Oh,
you know, those play-by-play guys, they stick together pretty tight. So I'm thinking he's going to go have a big night up in Iowa City and then, you know, get to sleep in tomorrow and get ready for the Saturday night tilt.
Gary Dolphin has a good sports bar in Dubuque.
That's what I heard, yeah.
All right, Dolphin. From Dolphins – to Halfley's, I want you to hear this because you were the reason I asked about this. And there is nothing I enjoy more other than not asking Bisacci a question yesterday and just evil-eyeing him throughout the press conference than when coaches say, do you want me to tell you the game plan or do you want me to tell you how we're going to do it? No, I don't. But I do want to understand how important it is and a general idea of the challenge you're facing. And I had a fun exchange with Jeff Halfley yesterday about how are you going to get Jared Goff pressured. Here is that conversation.
Jeff, what's the challenge with this group specifically, though? They've got a really good offensive line, and Matt was talking earlier today about how if you give – golf time and you don't get him off the spot, he can pick you apart. So how do you view this week's pressure challenge?
Just pressure, overall challenge? Because overall you're talking about, you know, possibly the best offense in football right now, one of the best teams in football right now, with a really good offensive line, really good backs, a really good quarterback, really good receivers, and a great coach. So are we asking about how we're going to get pressure on Goff?
I'll take both.
Like, you want to know how we're going to get pressure?
No, I don't want that. I don't know how important it is.
It's very important to get pressure on Goff. I mean, you know, but I think we got to be calculated with that. We just can't try to go after him every single play and every single third down. There's going to be times when we pressure him. There's going to be times when we show him pressure and drop out. There's going to be times when we send four unconventionally. There's going to be times when we send, you know, five plus, and there's going to be times maybe we drop eight. I mean, I think in anything, pressure always isn't just about overwhelming them with numbers. It's about making them see different things, right? It's all of a sudden you think six are coming, but three are coming or four are coming. And maybe we speed them up and we force them into a bad throw. Or maybe we drop a guy underneath where he didn't think the guy was going to drop, and now he throws a bad ball. I mean, I think the key for us is to constantly change up the looks and make those guys think, right? And we're going to have to do it all, because then there's really good players that we have to cover, possibly double, or possibly drop extra defenders in zones. It's challenging every week. We play good quarterbacks, and we play talented wideouts. This group can run the ball at a high level, too.
All right, Tausch. Tell me I'm wrong to be a little bit smitten with how good this guy is.
Well, he's a polished dude. Obviously, he's a head coach, and he's been leading groups and talking to the media for years. But I just like his approach, and he's not condescending. He's a leader. He's a dude. And that's what you want. So I think for as much as some of the other defensive coordinators that have been hashtagged, Jeff Hafley, it's going to be a little bit before you hashtag him, because I think he is – not that he's even branded himself. It's just who he is. I think he's just a really good football coach. And we should be excited about him, and we should, because, listen, we've heard the players tell you how excited they are about him. And when that's the case, we should be excited. And the fact that the guys are actually executing it, he is a adjuster. He's not going to be a, well, we're going to rush with four. That's just what we do. It's not what he does.
Mm-hmm.
We're not getting home. And if we're not disrupting what Detroit's going to do, we're going to do something different. And we're not going to make it predictable. And we're going to show things and back up. It's normal common sense stuff, but it is nice when you can, I guess, voice that and let people know where your head's at on things. It makes you feel that much more confident. And so from a media member standpoint, you love it. But from a player standpoint, I think he listens to his guys, and there's a reason everybody's excited and dialed in. And I heard his stuff that he said about Xavier McKinney yesterday. It gets you fired up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this guy's just scratching the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right now a potential depoy. So you have to just be excited about where this team's at with what Jeff Hafley's doing.
So let me ask you this, and then we'll move on, and we'll get ready for the green and gold game preview. So you mentioned from a player's perspective. I want to go back to that, because I do feel like I surveyed probably 10 defensive players that either start or are pieces of, like, the sub packages, like guys who play, not just guys who are further down the depth chart. And one of the things that they all talked about is his ability to adjust and his willingness to listen. Doesn't mean he does whatever they ask him to do, but his willingness to listen about different things they can do defensively. Having been a player, but in an era where maybe you didn't have the same level of a voice with coaches, A, how much does it mean for a guy to have a guy who's going to listen to you? But B, and this goes back to maybe how the defense was under the previous administration, a guy that's not just going to say, we do what we do, and we're going to always do that. You listen to that answer, and he's talking about eight different ways they're going to try and disrupt Jared Goff. And sometimes it's doing the opposite of heating him up and dropping eight unexpectedly.
Simulated,
that's the stuff
pressure.
You got to be excited about that, don't you, if you're a player?
I'm excited, and I think players just want to feel like they're a part of the process. We all understand that coaches are the ultimate. They're going to make the decisions, but coaches want to win. And some of the best stuff, you know, with Campy, and I wouldn't say as much back, but it would be this play just it didn't look good in practice. Let's just get rid of it. Mm. And coaches are more than happy to hear your feedback. There'll be times where they'll say, no, this is we like this. This is something. But if the players aren't bought into it, it's not going to work. So I think bringing things and bringing players information. Hey, this look at for this and third and four. Look at for this. Players eat that up. And that the great players want to be coached and they want to learn and they want their voices heard. But they also want to be it's not we're not going to walk over you. And it doesn't feel like Halfley's even close to that. But just even the open door and letting guys, a lot of times you just feel a lot better when you can voice your opinion. And then it doesn't have to be, I guess, adhered to. Mm-hmm. But when you just get to say what you want, when you can kind of tell them, this is what I'm seeing, this is this, and you can flip it to the other side, where you look at the play that they ran last week and the one to Watson a couple weeks ago for the touchdown. You don't think that gets guys to buy in even more? Like, hey, I just went to coach with this, and it just worked. And then the coaches, it's the same thing. Because in the end of the day, everybody wants the same thing. And if you aren't so concerned about what it is that you do, it's about mm-hmm. what you can do to be successful, that's when you have a winning program. And that's just the beginning of what we hope is this relationship that Jeff Halfley is having with this defense.
A private text from Pipe Jim, who, of course, is the sound man and longtime friend of our friend Pat McCurdy. We played Gary Dolphin's Bar in Dubuque last year. Really cool place and really cold Coors Lights.
Oh, well, and I'm bummed that I'm not with Matt. Going to be down at Dolphin's Bar. I don't know if he's going either, but you know there'll be Coors Light brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it's made to chill. Whether it's Gary Dolphin's Bar or any bar, the mountains on Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans, they need to be blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
I am seeing that the Academy with Tausch reading the script is up on our Twitter feed. So if you have not yet guessed, Jesse, what are the ground rules again for getting into the contest with the headlines? I don't have the sound on.
You can imagine how it's going to go.
There's a photo on the wall of Tausch as a high school player. It's a beautiful thing.
We will play it in the 11 o'clock hour of our show, but yes, you can text your guest. Check it out on the social feeds, on the Wildy and Tausch Twitter feed or Facebook page, and text the guest. Do not comment on the video to spoil it for everyone else. Text the guest privately to 844-770-3776. You get a chance. At the end of the year, we're going to pick one winner each week, and then at the end of the year, we'll do a big drawing, and the winner will receive a Green Bay tailgate experience at the Tundra Trio in 2025. So, grand prize, great prize at the end of the season. Text your guests to the text line. Do not comment on the videos when you see them on the social feeds.
Did you turn off commenting?
I did not turn off commenting. Oh. I suppose that is something I could do, isn't it?
Yeah, that would help you. All I know is I don't know whose basement this was filmed in, but it looks like it should be from Shawshank. Which I feel very confident it is. Maybe it is. I don't know. I'll have to listen to the audio. You can guess.
What are you doing?
What?
What do you mean? What do you mean? What?
I don't know.
There's a contest going on. What are you doing?
Your brothers are wearing like captain's hats, like they're driving a boat or something.
Jesse, what is he doing?
What am I doing?
I would stay away from referencing potential movies that could be the answer to the Academy's work each week, is what I would suggest.
Oh, boy.
No matter what movie you might be referencing. Jason.
I am the captain now. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
Wildy and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at titosvodka.com. It's a beautiful.
I've watched it with the sound on.
Any guesses what movie it is?
I can, yes. And I think everyone else will be able to, too. I'm going to have a lot of questions. I know you're leaving a little bit early because they're dropping the puck, but I want to know whose basement that is that you filmed it in, because it's good. It's well, wow. It's well executed.
How good was that scene, though?
And you were fun. I would like to rescind, much like my statement about I didn't think Jordan Love was going to play heading into practice yesterday, I would like to rescind my comment. I still don't understand why you can't memorize your lines. That's another discussion for another day. But
do you
it's
not
really
remember
good.
The scene? Like they had a they had a pamphlet with them. Do
no.
you not remember that?
I do remember the scene, and I don't. Okay. I don't want to talk about it any further. You already mad at me once. I don't want to make it worse.
I'm gonna well, you already gave away the farm. Listen, you already gave away the farm, so let's not kid ourselves. But what I will say is, the passion and just the it comes through. Great script, and I thought we executed it at a really high level.
I agree. I agree. It was as proud as I was of my work last week, I think this is better. I really do. And you with the sport coat and the shorts is especially impressive. All right. Speaking of greatness, time now for the Green and Gold game preview.
Let's take a closer look at this week's matchup. This is the Green and Gold game preview.
God, it really has been a long time since I produced a show on a Friday. The Green Bay Packers.
Thanks for stopping by.
Let me tell you something. The longest month ever, and you were not for any of them. You literally weren't here.
I mean, I was on site with. Remember when I was on site with you guys at Steinhoffel's after the Brewers lost to the Mets? I haven't produced a show on a Friday since the week before that, which feels like an eternity ago. The Green Bay Packers host the Detroit Lions in arguably the biggest game of the year at Lambeau Field. What is the biggest of all the storylines to choose from heading into Sunday afternoon's game, Tausch?
So are we taking the Jordan Love piece out of it? Because I know how you don't like when I talk about turnovers, even though that dictates who wins most of these games. Is the Jordan Love component out of the equation?
Jordan Love is the LHF. So take it out.
Low-hanging fruit. Well, you know I don't like that. So this game is all going to be about, do we pressure Goff? That's it. If we don't, we ain't beating him. If we do, we're going to beat him. Period. End of story. And when you do that, he's going to give our guys and mainly Xavier a shot at picking it off. I think, first off, great matchup of safeties, right? They have their guy from Alabama, their second-year guy. He is a stud. We have our stud. You know, we've thrown picks. Jared Goff will throw picks. But if we don't figure out a way to get after him, and really, I'm guessing Ben Johnson is going to go a ton of play action and give Goff clean pockets on his end on first and second down. This isn't going to be a run, pass game. This is going to be a play action, run, play action, boot. That's what they want to do. And we have to have a plan to get up the field. And if we give up some yards rushing because we're getting after Goff, I am okay with it. If Gibbs has 110 yards and a couple of big chunk runs because we're playing super aggressive to get after Goff, we don't pressure Goff. We ain't beating the Detroit Lions, period, end of story.
I'm going to go on the offensive side of the ball, but not about Jordan Love. They have to figure – whoever's the quarterback – however they do it, by hook or by crook, as the old saying goes, I think they're going to have to outscore the Lions. Because as much as I love my guy Hafley, I think they're going to put up points. Even if Jeff Hafley's plan to get Jared Goff off the spot as Tausch so eloquently put it yesterday and followed up today with his key to the game. I still think they're going to score. I also think that another key to this, and Tausch, I don't know how many teams you can recall playing against where this was a concern, but between their willingness to run fakes on special teams and their will, I mean, doesn't Penei Sewell have like a touchdown catch this season, a la Mark Tauscher on Christmas 2005? Oh, really like Mark Tauscher in 2005. Yeah. I mean, they've got running backs throwing touchdowns to Goff. They're doing everything. I will be curious to see if they can effectively defend special plays and fakes, because Tausch, you would agree that the Lions are a team unlike most that they really seem to enjoy the trickeration.
Well, they have fun. And you have fun when you're successful with stuff. And their trick plays have been fun and successful. So it brings a little juice, but it also leaves you vulnerable on some stuff. So if you're going to get beat with some trick plays, great. I think Green Bay needs to think about stealing a possession. If what you're saying is going to play out, and if you look at it, Detroit's offense has been really good. Steal a possession.
You can't do that anymore Bertram with the something. Unexpected onside kick like Mike used to do.
No, but you can you can do fake punts, you can do fake field goals, you got other tricks up your sleeve.
Sure.
There's other tricks up your sleeve. Steal a possession. Find a way.
Next up at our Green and Gold game preview ahead of Packers Lions Sunday at Lambeau Field, besides Jordan Love, which player is most important to the Packers having success in Sunday's game, Tausch?
Devontae Wyatt. He's back. That interior pressure. Detroit has a couple of good offensive tackles. I think Decker is vulnerable. I think that's where you heard TJ Lang say he didn't have a great game against Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a spot that you can pick it a little bit, but I think Devontae Wyatt needs to be disruptive. You're going to do all that play action pass and take the, you know, 7-step drops. You got to have, if you're getting some push off that edge and you don't let Goff step up in the pocket, how you go about limiting that is you get interior pressure. And I think Devontae Wyatt needs to be the guy that is going to provide that. So he needs to be, I think, a big time performer in this week if you're going to pull off this upset.
So, Jesse made a face when you picked that. I know you can't see him because you're not on the video.
Just a very interesting pick to me.
Well, what? No. Wait a second, because mine is going to make you make even a worse face than that one. Josh Myers. Josh Myers did not practice Wednesday. He did not practice yesterday. I watched him try to put his socks and shoes on with one hand yesterday, and I don't know if you've ever tried to do that, but it's not an easy task.
Unfortunately, you have to do that a lot. It's not fun.
So he is now, it is his left wrist. Now remember, he had the stinger against Arizona, went back into the game, but he couldn't even grip the football for a period there while the stinger was at its peak. That was his right side. Now he's got a wrist injury to his left hand. If he can't start, he has started 44 consecutive games, including playoffs. I understand that he has at times not lived up to second-round expectations, but he has settled in. You've heard Brian Bulaga talk about how well he has played. He is a vital piece now, and if you have to go without him, we will see if he is able to do something at practice today. He certainly talked as if he's not going to miss because of this injury. He is like you guys were when you guys were manning the offensive line, Tausch. I think he's going to have a club on his left hand. Help understand what he would be up against if he plays through this, because there was kind of this while we were all talking to him. Well, it's your left hand, so at least it doesn't affect your snapping. But the other hand is important, too, for an offensive lineman, is it not?
It's really important for a center because Mike Flanagan, who I think is one of the more underrated guys that I ever played with, he would always talk and watch him that left hand, you snap that bad boy up to get leverage early, because you obviously have to use your right hand if you're right-handed to snap the football. So it's different at guard because you have the other hand, you can kind of guide and steer, and then you can use that club as a weapon. You can pop. At center, if that's what you're doing, that's a whole different animal. You got to clutch. You have to get that. It literally is like, as you're snapping at your left hand, if you're reach blocking, you're up and at them. And you're trying to grab, and then you're trying to move your feet. So it would be a monumental challenge if you're a center and you only have one arm or one hand. It's already a tough job. It makes it even that much tougher.
If he doesn't go, they would move Elton Jenkins to center. They would play Jordan Morgan at right guard, and they would play Sean Ryan at left guard. So that would be the approach they would take. But again, going to be interesting. Going to be very interesting, especially if he doesn't go, what they're up against. Next.
Those were two very interesting answers to that question. Thank you for sharing your insight, gentlemen.
Well, we did it just for you since you decided to work on a Friday.
That's great. Our final question of the Green and Gold game preview. The Packers beat the Lions at Lambeau Field for the first time since September of 2021. If blank. Fill it in, old T.
Yeah, I always... This is always a tough question for me because I always lean towards those key keys, but I'm not going to go down that route because you've asked. I think it's going to be whoever rushes the ball. Who has more success? Who's more productive running the football? It doesn't necessarily need to be a 180-yard game rushing. It needs to be, what are you getting per carry, and are you able to set up your play action game? And that's on both sides of this, because I think especially from Green Bay's defensive side of the football, that's how Detroit operates. They're not a great third and eight, like most teams drop back and you could blitz them. You have to be able to control their run game, because then their play action game becomes irrelevant. So it all comes down to me, who runs the football better? Whose yards per carry, whose production is at its highest? Whoever does that, I think, will then, the trickle effect is they'll protect their quarterback better, and they're going to win this football game. They won't turn it over. Mm-hmm. All of the things that I normally look at for keys to the game, this week it's going to be who runs the football more effectively and consistently, and whoever does that is going to win this game.
So Rashawn Gary played at Michigan. He tore his ACL at Detroit. He's got history with the Lions. If Rashawn Gary is a game wrecker, which he has not been all season long, they win the game. Gets a strack on Jared Goff, I think they win the game. I think they need someone to be a field-tilting player that hasn't been defensively this season. And their $96 million man has definitely not been that. So they need him to be that on Sunday. That's what I'm going with. I will not make him my Steinhoffel sleeper of the week, however. All right, we need to get to the weekend preview coming up next, but not until after Tausch tells us about Fortrea Clinical Trials.
Yep, you need a little extra cash. Head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. Find a couple of studies that'll put some cash in your pocket for the holiday season that is coming. Healthy, overweight adults, ages 18 to 65, BMI 30 to 40. Study involves three stays totaling seven nights with 12 follow-ups. You can make $14,148 for your time and participation. If you refer a friend, you get another $350. And healthy adults ages 18 to 60, BMI 18 to 32. One stay, 14 nights, 11 follow-ups, $13,006 for your time and participation. Head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com. Find the study that you want to do, that you're eligible to do, and take home that big chunk of change for your family.
The weekend preview is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
This could be the end of everything.
feels about the Killers. I feel about Keane. We need more Keane music. I'm sure, I don't even know if they're still together, but if they are, I need a new album from them as well. What we also need is our weekend preview.
The weekend preview, guys. 5 games on your football docket. Pretty good weekend games coming up for us here.
Wait a minute.
Did you just notice Tausch is in the Tahoe again?
Yes. Is your Tahoe a convertible?
Yeah. It's got a sunroof, yeah.
It's got the biggest sunroof in history. It looks like you're outside. I thought you were in the back of your Tahoe with the hatchback up at first.
No, it's a super spacious car. I tried to tell you that the other day. It's from a comfort standpoint, it's tough to beat.
And how many hats? Yeah, I know you wear a lot of hats, right?
Sure.
Yep. Father, radio host, radio color analyst.
Yep.
AmFam ambassador, Coors pitchman.
But love it.
Why do you have two different hats? Like, you got to switch segment to segment like I do? Or what's the plan? You got your Cardinals hat on, but you got your Badger hat in the passenger seat. You going to go hat to hat each segment?
Nope, just this hat. I just have two hats. I haven't really thought about it, Jason, if I'm being honest with you. I just put a hat
okay. You know, by the way,
I don't think things through quite like you do. Yeah.
I would just like to remind you that all those times when you throw something at me unexpectedly and I have to have something because otherwise you get irritated with me, I haven't really thought it through is not a great comeback to the hat question. All right, what do we got for our weekend preview?
5 games on the football docket this weekend. Which one are you most interested in and which one are you going to sort through your Halloween candy during? The 5 games to choose from. Good college football slate in the Big Ten tomorrow. Leading us off, big noon kickoff, 11 a.m. on Fox. Number 4, Ohio State at number 3, Penn State. What a game at 11 a.m. tomorrow in Happy Valley. Then at 2:30, don't sleep on this one, Jason. Your number 1 ranked Oregon Ducks, who you're not a fan of, but you follow.
Thank you for clarifying.
Are on the road at the Big House, taking on the Michigan Wolverines, who are desperate for a nice win this year. Your NFL Sunday slate locally, Broncos-Ravens, noon on CBS.
Yeah.
Nance and Romo get that one. Bo Nix having a good season. Cowboys-Falcons, noon Sunday on Fox. Of course, leading into Packers-Lions at 3:25.
Big game for Big Mike.
And then your Sunday night game, a flexed game into the Sunday night slot. We almost would have had to sit through Jaguars-Eagles. We'll always remember this as the weekend. We almost got Jaguars-Eagles Sunday night football. Instead,
why would the NFL ever have put a Jaguars-Eagles game prime time?
Doug Peterson coming home where he won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but nobody cares, and Doug almost got fired.
Well, that's why they flexed it, yes. Your Sunday night football game now, Colts-Vikings, 7:20 on NBC. Good ones to choose from, fellas. Which one are you most interested in, Tausch?
Yeah, Ohio State, Penn State. There's not, Detroit Green Bay is obviously the creme de la creme of the games this week. And everything else is kind of, But Penn State, Ohio State, hey, it'd be good. And are we kind of over the whole big noon kickoff thing?
Haven't we always been over it?
Nah, I like the initial thought of it. I thought was good, but it's run its course. Like, if I'm Fox, I'm thinking seriously, you know what? We got this little pregame show. It's cute. Not really competing with ESPN's game day, but
it's
whatever.
Cute.
Let's play the game. Put it at 2:30. The 11 o'clock kicks should be for, the mid-tier. You want to put one big game. Okay, great. I don't think it's working for them. I think they need to go back. But this game should be a primetime game. This Penn State, Ohio State. This is a big boy game. And they're playing at 11. Yeah.
I mean, the biggest game of the college football season is always at 11 a.m., even before big noon.
What is?
Michigan-Ohio State. It's the biggest game of the college football season.
Does it need to be?
And they've always played it at 11 a.m.
Not always.
One time it was number one versus number two. They moved it to 2:30. Every other time it's been an 11 a.m. kickoff. Way back when.
Yeah, and it should be two. And you know what? If Fox was smart, they'd say, we're going to put that bad boy at 2:30.
At the earliest.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm Team Tausch on this. Now, granted, the 11 o'clock kick is after breakfast, but it's still way too early.
Not after breakfast, now.
I would just say this, and correct me if I'm wrong. I know Jen Latta is not here to help me with this. But just because you do college game day at a site doesn't mean it's at a site where the game is then played at 11 a.m., correct? It's
very rarely is that the case.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm not here to tell Fox how to do their business. But
no, I am.
I know you are. It's great that they have Ohio State, Penn State, but that strikes me as a game where you could do your shindig, but then do the game later. That's what I would do.
Yeah, it's dumb. I don't
want to be
the one. They got cute with it. They
I know.
To compete with game day.
Big Ten has NBC primetime games. I get it. But at least at 2:30 would allow you to watch it at a more reasonable hour. Now, does that conflict with the Big Ten's deals on ABC and ESPN? Maybe. Maybe we're just shouting at the cloud here, which we can see through Tausch's sunroof.
Jason, I'll predict that at some point they change this model. No, they're going to change the model.
I don't want to be the one that sticks up for Fox, but I think Big Noon Kickoff has actually been pretty successful.
I'm not saying
the tailgate show is fine.
Right. It's the game.
Just don't put the game. Yeah.
I think the game, I like the game at 11 a.m. I like
because you like to go to bed early.
There are certain games that it just feels wrong when the game is at 11 a.m., but I like that they, like, it got to the point a few years ago where the 11 a.m. games just all stunk. And you would, like, it was taking a big portion of your college football viewing experience and just saying, here's the trash games, and then all the good ones are backloaded at 6:30 at night or at 2:30 in the afternoon.
Jesse, you make a good point. A lot of times the 11 o'clock games are the dumping ground of the Badgers are going to beat these guys by 40. We'll put that game at 11. That's a very fair point.
Arkansas, Florida.
I also think the Big Ten should think seriously about jumping in and getting an 8:30 game a.m. Do the European window game.
Oh, my God.
That's one game a week in Dublin. All right. This caused us to not even address the fact that I'm sure Fox protected Packers-Lions. But the fact the fact that it's an upgrade for Sunday Night Football, that it's Colts-Vikings, tells you that it's not a great slate of games. The Monday night game now. You know what the Monday night game is, old T?
Yeah, I think it's the Chiefs are playing somebody.
The Buccaneers.
Yeah. Tampa needs their guys back. Tampa needs their guys back.
But they are fun. I agree, Jesse. They are a fun team. All right, that is our weekend preview. We told you where to watch these games because we gave you, whether it was on NBC or ESPN or Fox or CBS. If you don't have time to tune into us, all you got to do is open up your ESPN app, and they'll help you find whatever game you're looking for, right?
Ditch the random channel surfing with your remote. Grab your phone. Open up the ESPN app, their new Where to Watch feature. It's a game changer. So many games going on, and the ESPN app is your answer for what channel, what app, what stream. Want to know where the Milwaukee Bucks are tipping off? I certainly don't, not as of late. Boom, it's ESPN.
Need the channel.
Well, they stink. Let's be honest. It's a bad basketball team right now.
Yeah.
All right, but I don't know why you guys did all that.
They won the first game. They won the first game.
They're 1-4, and they look ugly doing it. You already have the answer. It's the ESPN app's Where to Watch tab. Say goodbye to frustration. I'm frustrated with the Bucks start. And hello to watching sports. Download the ESPN app from your app store and find the Where to Watch TV icon and go from there. But you guys think the Bucks are killing it?
No, I just enjoy.
They stink.
I wasn't expecting the level of criticism that they received during a read.
It was harsh.
That's all. Yeah. That's all.
They're trying. Well, get, let's be surprise. Honest about it.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
We want you to be honest.
More Bucks today.
Yeah. No.
We ain't talking more Bucks.
We definitely covered that ground. Quote.
How are we?
They stink.
Hey, by the way, how are we going to turn this around? How are we going to turn it around?
I thought we were done talking about the Bucks.
Okay.
You want to talk about how they're going to turn it around?
Need a home stand.
Is Chris Middleton back yet?
Got to get a home stand in here.
That would help.
Get the crowded Fiserv going.
Is that going to help us stop the Grizzlies from scoring a buck 40? I don't know.
Ja.
What a disaster.
I love you, man.
And you can find out where to watch on the ESPN app.
Or where not to watch if you don't want to watch the game.
Got to avoid that one. Woo.
Tune out last night's game. I can tell you that.
As much as I would love to continue our Bucks conversation, prize picks of the week kick off the 10 o'clock hour.
Are we sold on Doc Rivers? That'd be another topic.
Whoa, Nelly! I'd like to jump into. Catch the NBA podcast with Evan Cohen and Mark Tauscher live from the Tornado Room, coming soon to ESPNWisconsin.com.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.